Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of The Site Side. My name is James Hickey, and I'm your host. Today's episode is called What is Applied Neurodivergence? So why applied neurodivergence? Well, let me tell you guys about the speech. I heard the same speech every year of my childhood. It was such a staple that it was there every single year from about fourth grade on up through high school and beyond. Every single year, teachers, counselors, parents, it was always some version of the same thing. They would say, oh, you're capable of so much if you would only apply yourself. Why don't you ever apply yourself? Over and over every year. So thinking back, maybe they all saw something that I didn't. It was the 80s, it was the 90s. I'm struggling through school with undiagnosed ADHD and autism. And I was completely incapable of applying anything because nothing ever stuck. And as we touched on last week, with diagnosis came clarity and with clarity came truth. And the truth was that I couldn't apply myself because I didn't know what I was dealing with. I was working with a neurodivergent mind. And now we're applying it. This is episode 2 of The Site Side, and today we're going to talk about what applied neurodivergence actually is and why the current conversation about neurodivergence is incomplete. And before we go any further, I just want to note that I speak from the neurodivergent community. I do not speak for it. These are my insights. These are my opinions alone. This is all based on my lived experience. Most of that was 45 years of undiagnosed, unmedicated, and unaccommodated neurodivergence. I am not an academic. I am not a clinician. I'm someone who survived. So these past few months, I've been diving into the neurodivergent community and really looking at where the conversation has been focused, especially in regards to the workplace. And I noticed it's mainly built on three pillars: identity, accommodation, and inclusion. Identity is understanding yourself and who you are as a neurodivergent person. Accommodation is what adjustments do you need to function, including things like ambient lighting, quiet spaces, noise-canceling headphones, comfortable clothing. And inclusion is making spaces safer and more accessible for us to be present. All three of these are fundamental. I would say they're imperative. And I'm not here to tear any of that down or detract from it at all. However, I do want to address what's missing. And what's missing is how neurodivergent cognition actually functions when applied to real work. I don't see a lot of content out there about the operational value that we bring to organizations. I don't see a lot of what we're capable of producing. And this is a gap. There's so much content about what neurodivergent people need and so little about what we can do. And very little of it recognizes what we're capable of, especially when we have that accommodation, when we have that support that puts us in an environment, when we have purpose, when we can focus, and we can actually set our minds to something. Applied neurodivergence fills that gap. I might say some things here that might land wrong for some people, and it's important for me to note that I'm not trying to ruffle feathers. I'm not trying to cause division. However, I want to explore the truth as I've lived it. The truth is, there's two camps in the neurodivergent community. You have those who are early diagnosed and those who are late diagnosed. And the difference between the two of them is it's pretty much night or day. If you have an early diagnosis, you've had accommodations from the start. You've had support systems, teachers, family who understood, people who made an effort to understand what you needed. You were able to establish a comfort zone. You had scaffolding to be able to build and to be able to explore your neurodivergent talents and evolve those in a safe, structured space. On the other hand, you have late diagnosed individuals. Most of us have been in survival mode from day one because we've had no accommodations. We didn't even know what our situation was. We knew that we were set apart from our peers. We knew that we didn't quite fit in, and we had to learn how to reconcile that with the world we were thrown in via the school of hard knocks. We had to learn so many things the hard way, surviving in a world that just wasn't built for our nervous systems. We've been in survival mode since day one, and many of us had to figure it out alone with no support. Personally, I was in that camp. I had to figure things out the hard way. And that was a lot of rough lessons. You know, I had to craft masks through trial and error. I had to learn what was socially acceptable to say versus when to keep my mouth shut. I had to adjust to things on the fly, especially when they weren't going my way. I would have, be in sensory overload, having a meltdown somewhere, and I didn't know enough about my condition to realize that the internal panic attack was simply due to being overly stimulated. I didn't know that. I didn't get clarity until decades later. The hard truth about all of this is Early diagnosis gets you accommodation and understanding, and late diagnosis just gets you scars. And here's the thing, late diagnosed people are often hardier because of those scars, you know, because we had to be. There's an old sailor adage that says calm seas never made for a skilled sailor. And since we didn't get calm seas, we developed navigation skills that other people might not have. And those navigation skills, they manifest as, you know, the way we survived. We have bounce back versus crash out. You know, yeah, I can have a meltdown, but it doesn't necessarily lead to a crash out. It doesn't lead to a shutdown. I can bounce back and get the job done because I've had to. And I was only able to develop that resilience in the trenches of living undiagnosed in the world. So while much of the neurodivergent conversation, especially in workplace contexts, is focused on that accommodation, you know, this is what I need. This is what you can do for me. This is how to make my workspace safe. I feel this is incomplete because it's not talking about what we can actually produce in the workplace. And I feel like if there's too much emphasis on the accommodation side of things and on the identity side of things instead of on the production side of things, it can lead to a lot of friction points in a workplace, you know, even from an employer perspective. You know, I don't think anyone wants to say out loud that a lot of business owners would view any employee that they have to accommodate as a liability. Does it suck? Yeah. Is it just? No, not at all. But it's a fact of how the world works, you know, and it leads to workplace envy. Other employees might see special treatment. They're like, oh, well, why does Jimmy get to wear noise-canceling headphones despite the company policy? This can lead to resentment, you know, and we have a hard enough time being discriminated against in workplace and in life that we don't need to pile on extra layers because of these accommodations. So I view the counterbalance as we offset the liability of accommodation by producing results. This is again where applied neurodivergence comes to the forefront, because applied neurodivergence explores the synthesis between our accommodations and our neurodivergent cognitive abilities. And this is best highlighted, and I'm going to continue referring to this study because it's amazing. JP Morgan 2022 Autism at Work Study found that neurodivergent employees were 90 to 140% more productive than neurotypical peers while making fewer errors. However, the caveat to this is when they were properly matched and supported. Supported means accommodations. So it comes together because we are capable of great things when we have that support, when we have that balance. And those great things, that demonstrates the ROI, the return on investment that makes our accommodations worth it. I stand by neurodivergent talent is an asset to any team anywhere in any industry, because we bring a unique mindset to any planning session. We bring a unique cognitive ability to any team anywhere. Because when it comes to neurodivergent team members, we're not just thinking outside the box. We're thinking all the way down the street and around the corner. And we do that with applied neurodivergence. I define applied neurodivergence as the deliberate and systemic application of neurodivergent cognitive abilities to solve problems that neurotypical approaches routinely miss. It's a methodology, it's a discipline, it's not an identity label. We reframe from why I need to be accommodated to this is what I'm capable of. So that's a very important pivot from accommodation to capability. And I found that this comes down to four core cognitive operations: bottoms-up processing, advanced pattern recognition, predictive risk orientation, and systems thinking. And what I mean by bottom-up processing, starting with details, constraints, edge cases, neurodivergent minds are going to see the trees before the forest, and they build understanding upward rather than imposing a framework downward. This is important, especially with businesses that are incorporating artificial intelligence into their day-to-day operations, because AI and ND both utilize bottom-up processing. I just published an article yesterday on LinkedIn talking about the symbiosis between neurodivergence and artificial intelligence, and we'll get into this in a later episode. I don't want to detract too much from what we're talking about today. The second one is advanced pattern recognition, detecting cross-domain relationships, seeing signals others miss, anticipating failure nodes before they surface. The third one is predictive risk orientation, and this is hypervigilance repurposed. Yeah, for example, if you have ADHD and have lived in fight-or-flight mode your whole life, you're constantly scanning for unknown unknowns, and that is real-time risk management. It is a marketable and viable and in-demand skill. The fourth one is systems thinking, understanding how components interact across silos, across domains, and with that comes systems integration. I need to be very clear when I say each one of these bottom-up processing, advanced pattern recognition, predictive risk orientation, and systems thinking, it's important to note that these are not soft skills. These are high-level operational capabilities, and applied neurodivergence is about developing those capabilities to their maximum potential. This has been The Sight Side. If any of this resonated, or even if it pissed you off, I want to hear from you. Subscribe, reach out on LinkedIn, and let's start a dialogue. I will see everyone on Thursday. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.